All the Lonely People, Conversations on Loneliness, written and read by Dr. Sam Carr. I'd like to dedicate this book to Alex and to all of the people who allowed me to descend with them down into their inner worlds, where stories of loneliness so often reside. Your stories help us to appreciate that we are all the lonely people. A note on the text. All the stories in this book are true. They're based upon accounts of my own experiences, the experiences of people close to me, or of people I've interviewed as part of my work over many years. To preserve their anonymity and to honour ethical guidelines, I've been careful to change names and details that might make people easily identifiable, and sometimes multiple stories are amalgamated for this purpose. In certain stories, where anonymity is not possible to preserve, full consent has been given by the person who helped shape the story. Introduction. The crucial thing is the story. There are some inevitabilities in life, like the fact that we all make mistakes, grow old and die, or that everything eventually comes to an end. I think loneliness is also an inevitability that we encounter in various guises, at different points in our lives. It's not just a pathology reserved for people considered vulnerable or broken. Of course, there are infinite shades of loneliness, and how it is lived and experienced is often unique, connected to the messy constellation of circumstances that make up our individual lives. But it has a role to play in almost every life story, and if we care to listen, stories of loneliness are all around us. For example, take my grandpa. His own lonely and reluctant struggle with letting go of life began around a decade before he died. I can still remember as a young man of 21 years old, sitting a few rows behind grandpa in the crematorium at grandma's funeral. Grandma died on the 1st of January 2001. From the last of a series of strokes that had worn her down over several years. What distressed me most that day was the sight of Grandpa in the front row, now an old, frail man, dressed in a slightly oversized tweed suit, his thin, wispy, receding grey hair half brushed. As Grandma's coffin disappeared behind a pair of yellow curtains, he bent over, sobbing uncontrollably and inconsolably. Some images and memories never leave you, as though they have been bookmarked. He was beside himself, in bits, completely shattered, and in the sort of pain where it feels as though your organism just doesn't have the emotional repertoire to handle the severity of what it's being presented with. If he were a robot, I'm certain Grandpa would have malfunctioned, exploding into a shower of sparks and powering down. It was possibly one of the most distressing moments of his life. Perhaps it was the formality of the occasion, or the fact that I was sitting a few rows behind him, or some kind of funeral protocol that prevented me from running up to him and holding him tightly. It seemed like the only thing that might come close to soothing him was to be wrapped up in someone's arms, in the same way a screaming, helpless, vulnerable infant is calmed when they are cradled. But I didn't do that. I'm not sure why. Maybe because it was always Grandma who played that role in our family, and she was disappearing behind a pair of yellow curtains in a shiny mahogany box adorned with flowers. They had been married for over 60 years, and it terrified me to witness how lonely and lost Grandpa felt without Grandma. I remember thinking how life can be such an unbearably brutal bully sometimes. When they married, they probably never even thought about the eventual and inevitable ending of the union. But, as P.G. Wodehouse put it, in the background, fate was quietly slipping lead into the boxing glove. A boxing glove that would eventually deal Grandpa a killer blow. How on earth would he manage to redefine himself in Grandma's absence? As it turned out, he never really managed. And the next decade of his life felt like a constant struggle to stay afloat. He drifted increasingly out of touch with the world, despite our best efforts to support him. Loneliness swooped in and cast an almost permanent shadow over the final chapter of his life. Old age was undoubtedly a major catalyst for Grandpa's loneliness during those final years. In his book, Being Mortal, the surgeon and author Atul Gawande describes growing old as a continuous series of losses, drawing on Philip Roth's assertion that old age is not a battle, old age is a massacre. In the decade after Grandma's death, I watched Grandpa face that massacre, struggling with the loneliness brought about by those losses. In losing Grandma, he lost the defining, most significant, protective, and meaningful relationship of his life. No other relationship would ever compensate or come close. Gradually, his health and body deteriorated to the extent that he lost the capacity to engage with and reap from the world around him in the ways he had always done. He lost the sense that who he was, what he